Welcome to the Lock In Podcast, the show that's all about staying at home. I'm Conor Mwinichon from Black Knight, and this is episode 7 for Friday, April 24th, 2020. Various backgrounds we're going to show on the show today. I got them at a website called pocketlint.com, and you can see the link to that there on the screen. Our guest on the programme today is a chef from Waterford who now runs a chambre d'hôte in the south of France. Martin Dwyer, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Colin.
Martin, did I pronounce that correctly?
Dwyer?
No, I meant chambre d'hôte.
No, chambre d'hôte's fine. Well, actually have a maison d'hôte, technically.
Very good.
Which means we serve dinner.
Excellent. Martin,
always do that, so we don't push it too hard.
Very good. Some people will know you from Dwyer's Restaurant, which you ran for many years in Waterford, but you retired from that business, and you didn't retire. You moved to France, and you're still in business. Can you tell us a bit about what you do, where you are, and what you do there?
Well, we're down on the very south. When the weather is good, we can see the Pyrenees from the terrace, so we're that close to Spain. We're about 150 kilometres from Spain. And we moved down here because, well, I've always been a Francophile. I'm mad about France. I love the food. I love the culture. And more than anything else, I think we ran down here for a bit of sunshine for our old, aged bones as we sort of got ourselves ready for the long journey. Mm. And we said it'd be nice to do it warm. So that's one of the major reasons why we're here. It's lovely.
So you bought this old presbytery and you run it, as you say, as a maison d'hôte. What does that actually involve? How many guests can you accommodate?
Well, we've got very sloppy and easy on ourselves now over the last couple of years. And this year we're still shut now, of course, but the virus caught up with our shut period. So we are now not going to be, the last guest we had was October. And we're not going to have another one now, I'd say, before June. It may even be July, I think, before we'd be allowed to be open again. So that's a long, long stretch of time. So I'd say, yes, the most we would open would be, at this stage, would be 4 or 5 months in the year.
So what is the lockdown or the lock-in, whatever you want to call it? What's it like in France at the moment? How is it affecting your day-to-day lives and the lives of your neighbours?
Well, it's major. It's major. It's funny, I just have one here because I plan to go for a walk after we come to you. We have a thing called an attestation that we have to fill out every time before we leave the house, which has the reason why you're leaving the house, exactly where you're going, exactly the hour of your departure, and you're only allowed out the usual sort of thing, 2 kilometres and for a half an hour and so on. So this is... It kind of reminds you of the stories you'd read in the war, you know,
yes.
If you'd be stopped. Papers, please, you know. Yeah. But in fact, we have never been stopped. But we do know people who have been stopped and have been fined because they haven't had their attestation with them. So we do tend to, we take it seriously.
It's interesting the way different states are taking different approaches, Martin, to try and achieve the same thing. And it depends maybe on the culture of the different countries and some of their history as well. It's hard to imagine being hassled by a guard in Ireland or in Waterford, Martin, looking for your attestation or whatever it is. Yes, there are Gardaí on the street, there are checkpoints, and people are being asked to cooperate and to a certain extent it's viewed as a community thing or as a voluntary thing, and people are doing their best in different ways. But we don't do that paperwork here in Ireland.
No, but it works. I mean, it works here. Would it work here without the paperwork? I don't know. But, you know, people passing our house on the street are very, very scarce indeed. Right. And people are staying indoors and that's it. That's it. They really are taking it extremely seriously.
And what's the view of the people? Do they feel that it's something they're being forced to do? Are they doing so reluctantly? Are they doing so with good grace? And is there a feeling that, you know, we're all in this together?
Of course, it's very hard to judge because I'm not talking to anybody.
Of course, right.
I do watch the French news normally of a night, and we see it. And that seems to give the impression that there's not a lot of people who who are rebelling against it, mm-hmm. not like the Americans that you're seeing. Mm. Macron seems to be going down extremely well on this one. Very, very much like our man in Ireland, Bradker, is doing. Mm-hmm. It's the same sort of feeling. There's nobody has got a sort of a mad affection for him, but they feel, yes, he's doing the job that he's supposed to do and doing it well.
How is it curtailing your life, Martin, in particular? I mean, you have a certain lifestyle there as it is. Are you feeling it a burden, or are you feeling it an imposition, or are you able to get along with things as you usually do?
Well, we had 3 days rain. Mm. And we don't have that much rain here. And the 3 days rain did have us moving upwards on the walls, as they say, a small bit. But we have a huge terrace with a huge view down as far as the Pyrenees. And once you can get out on that, it really feels different. Once it's sunny and you're sitting out just reading your book, having your meals outside, all of that, it becomes, you see, I mean, I spent so much time under the grey Irish sky, counting the days off to when my holidays would begin. I tell you, it was the 30th of June every year. Sheila was a primary school teacher. When we'd get off there and belt down onto the ferry and belt down to France. Mm. And so it still has that kind of excitement for me being here, because there's so much about the place down here that I love.
Mm. And how are you keeping in touch with family and friends, Martin?
Electronically. Mm. All electronics now. We have there's so much stuff, isn't there? I mean, there's emails for one thing if you really get stuck, but I mean, much more likely to be a phone. There's the mobile phones, there's the whole lot of it. Sure, everybody knows they're all using it nowadays, and it makes a huge difference. I mean, even my grandchildren can occasionally they steal their parents' phones and start writing things to us. So, yes, and of course, it's great.
And being in that expat situation, of course, Martin, your relationship is online with a lot of family and friends anyway.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, we were just talking there, Martin, and I was saying we've gotten to know each other many years ago. I followed your blogging and your writing and your Facebook posts for years, and especially interested, I suppose, in the life that you've built for yourself in semi-retirement, if you like, in the south of France. And one thing that always strikes me, Martin, is how well you are getting on there, or how much you seem to get on very well with the French, which a lot of people sometimes find difficult to do. But it's and some people would say that they find the French to be haughty and arrogant and full of their own importance. But in fairness to the French, Martin, they have a lot to be proud of, don't they?
Well, they do, but I really find them very easy to get on with, so long as you can speak to them.
Yes.
You have to remember that. You're not in Holland, you're not in Germany. Mm. The French, on the whole, don't have English. Mm. Or even if they have, they don't necessarily have very good English. Mm. And once you can speak to them, once you can communicate, it's just absolutely amazing. I mean, frequently I see them laughing at me because I do things that I don't think of as being French, other than using my hands all the time, which of course I do. And I talk about the food. I talk about food very earnestly and very seriously because it is my métier, as well as being the thing that I've trained in. And they just turn around and laugh and they say, oh, there he goes again. Every day he becomes more French and so on. So that's what happens here.
Martin, you're hopeful you might be able to reopen to guests in July. That's just the way things are being reported at the moment.
It's going to be July, I think, yeah. And we'll take our time to sort of get it sorted out and to see that all the bits are falling back into place, because we can't just open on our own. We have to have our suppliers. We have to have, and very importantly, we have to have Mr. Ryanair back in business to bring the people to us. So I reckon this whole thing is going to take a little longer than we thought. We've been given a date of I think it's the 11th, Monday the 11th, by Mr. Macron, that's going to be the beginning of the end of the quarantine, but that's all you can say. You know, it's a bit in the future.
Well, it's a pleasure to talk to you, Martin, and thanks for being our guest on the Lock-In podcast today. If people want to find out more about you and your guest house in France, what's your website, or where can they find you?
The website is www.lepresbytere.net, trying not to say point net. And yeah, that's it. That'll find me. And there's an old Martin Dwyer up there as well, www.martindwyer.com, which will guide you to it as well.
Fantastic.
So, well, I did embrace the major, having a very clever daughter who's switched me on to things.
Fantastic. Martin, a pleasure to talk to you, and best wishes to you and to Sheila. Stay safe, stay at home, and lukun of debe midi kainta rish lath gur mahagat.
Gur mien mahagat, kul. Slán.
That is Martin Dwyer, our guest on the Lock In podcast today. You can find out more about the show at thelockin.ie. We're getting up on Spotify and iTunes and Apple Podcasts and every place else like that as well. So if you go to that website, you'll find links where you can subscribe. To finish up today, we're featuring this video from Sophie Ellis-Bextor, whom you may remember had a glittering pop career about 15 or 20 years ago. She's gone on to have a lovely career as a mother of five young boys, and she is at the moment broadcasting and recording and posting YouTube videos of her and the boys having a little disco in the kitchen. Take Me Home was one of her big hits, and we're finishing up with that. We'll include a little bit of that in the podcast as well. And she's rewritten the lyrics and the title from Take Me Home to Stay at Home, which is really good advice at the moment. Very enjoyable, very much fun to watch. A lot of stuff like that going on at the moment. I also want to say thanks to Bennett from our sales team, who shared with the rest of us in the office here at Black Knight the other day a great site called imisstheoffice.eu. Working at home, it's all fine and grand, and those who can do it are very lucky to be able to do so. But if you miss that ambience, if you miss that background noise, you can go to this website. You can configure exactly how many co-workers you'd like to have in the background noise of this virtual office, and you can even click on various things like computer keyboards and photocopying machines and things like that, and add them to the mix as well. That's it for this week. Back again next Tuesday. Good evening, Slán na gcuimh. More information, of course, at thelockin.ie.